Today's program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit cane5.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You're listening to Let's Get Real on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Wides, your host. That would be Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. Pardon me. So I can't wait for the Olympics. Don't you love the Olympics? I totally love the Olympics. Did you know that I love the Olympics? The pageantry, the patriotism, the pomp, the stories of success and failure, the hard training, the lifelong dreams. Even though the natural-born cynic in me knows that it's all become a corporate-sponsored nightmare that leaves the host countries with billions in debt and useless hulking arenas and venues. Even so, I still love the games, and I especially love the opening ceremonies. The parade of those earnest, excited athletes all scrubbed and shiny and proud in their team uniforms. I mean, who could resist that? All that goodwill and passionate competition, we hope, that's all. This time around, things could get a little crazy. We'll see. But what I really don't like about the Olympics is, of course, as I mentioned, the corporate sponsorship. Now, I know that they have to have companies sponsor the teams. I get that part. I mean, who are we? Cuba or North Korea or Romania in the 70s. It's not like our government can afford it right now, what with all the spying and two wars and all of that. And so the athletes need corporate sponsorships, and companies like McDonald's and Coke are happy to step up and do their part for the team. They even provide the food in the athletes' village so you can break records, world records for speed skating or women's ski jumping after fueling yourself up on McNuggets and quarter pounders. I mean, hey, maybe that's what I've actually been doing wrong all these years, why I'm not an Olympic-level athlete. I'm merely an amateur because I've been eating the wrong food. I need to eat some nuggets. And so a major sponsor for some of our finest former Olympians, like Michael Phelps and Apollo Ono, is one of our finest fast food chains. Really, a fast foodiness chain. The foodinessest of them all, Subway. You know, as in Subway, eat fresh. The chain that helped a fat guy named Jared lose 400 pounds. The chain that claims to bake fresh bread every day and sell you high-quality food. The chain that makes its bread with over 40 ingredients added, other than the basic flour, water, yeast, and salt. Including an ingredient banned in 14 countries. That's a commonly used chemical in foam products like yoga mats and sneakers. Yeah, that's Subway. Eat fresh. Subway's bread, along with many other companies' brands' bread, like Sara Lee and McDonald's and Wendy's and Arby's, contain something that I can barely pronounce called azodicarbonamide. I think that's how it's pronounced. I asked Siri, she didn't even know how to say it, which is added as a dough conditioner and foaming agent to their bread doughs. Now, there are lots of other scary, chemically things added too, along with the azodicarbonamide. But this one is actually illegal in most other developed countries. Now, this ingredient, it's considered an ingredient, is a yellow-orange powder. And it's more commonly used commercially in the creation of foamed plastics, like yoga mats and shoe soles and floor mats and window gaskets. And the FDA allows food companies to use azodicarbonamide as a flour bleaching agent and dough conditioner in any food product, giving it a status of GRAS or generally recognized as safe. It's been linked to asthma and allergies, and when exposed to heat, it creates a carcinogen. But since they don't regulate who uses it or how it's used, it can turn up in all sorts of food products. The U.S. is one of the only countries in the world that still allows this ingredient in our food supply, since it's been banned as a food additive in the U.K., Europe, and Australia. And in Singapore, if you get caught using it, you can get up to 15 years in prison or be fined $500,000. Eat fresh. But here, we add it to bread to make it spongy and more uniform in texture and to last longer. And then we sell it to people in their sandwiches, especially at Subway. You know, the Subway who sell their food as the healthier alternative. Endorsed by doctors and athletes, eat fresh my ass. Subway is the ultimate foodiness brand. Selling crappy, chemical-laden, industrially processed food, but encircling it in a health halo so big and so opaque that nobody can actually see what's underneath it. And they are insidiously and systematically moving into every other empty storefront in New York City. Now, New York, the home of the deli, the bodega, the sandwich capital of the world, is being eaten itself alive by Subway. There are Subway franchises opening weekly everywhere, and a few of them have opened recently in spaces that native New Yorkers like myself would consider sacred, hallowed ground. Like in Chelsea, for example, where since the late 70s, the store called Camouflage has stood on 8th Avenue, around 16th, 17th Street, I believe, through decades of the neighborhood's decline and resurrection, providing fashionable clothing to stylish men who eschewed department stores. Now, I never shopped Camouflage because obviously I'm not a man. I may be somewhat gender ambiguous looking, but I'm definitely a woman. But Camouflage was independently owned, a neighborhood fixture in Chelsea for decades, since the late 70s. Mick Jagger shopped there. Andy Warhol shopped there. Paul Rudnick shops there. But it's been forced out by the mummification of Chelsea, the organic avenues, and the Soul Cycle crowds, allowing the landlords to jack the rent up from $7,000 to $24,000 in 1 year. So Norm, who's owned it since day one, has had to shut it down. Even selling fabulous clothing to rich gay men apparently has its financial limits. But apparently Subway can sell enough disgusting fake foodiness sandwiches every day to pay that kind of rent. And another heartbreaker near my house in Brooklyn, at the western end of Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn Heights, right down by the water, there are two very old bars called Montero's and the Long Island Restaurant. Now, these places are classic old school bars and restaurants, glass brick fronts, old bars, neon, beautiful. They were originally owned by two sisters who had this legendary feud and didn't speak for years, and they were in business since the war years, and I mean World War II. When that neighborhood was full of longshoremen and dock workers who used to walk home up Atlantic Avenue from the river and stop by for a drink. Now, both bars closed down years ago, but luckily the Long Island has been resurrected recently by a cocktailologist and has reopened. The other one, though, take a guess. I'll wait. Yeah, take your time. It's a hard one. Think fresh. Yes, has reopened as a Subway. I find it totally sickening. Who is eating this crap? Who eats sandwiches from Subway? I don't understand it. The power of marketing is just mind-blowing. As Kristen Wortman, who you all know as the in-house nutrition educator here in the Foodiness Fallout Shelter, says that she has private clients who help her to help them lose weight or to eat better. She takes on private clients. And they claim to her that they're already eating really healthy because they go to Subway every day for lunch. You know what? You're better off going downtown to Katz's and eating a pound of extra fatty pastrami on rye. At least you know what's in it. Pastrami, which is just corned beef with salt and black pepper and coriander seeds and some smoke. And rye bread, which is wheat and rye and water and yeast and salt, maybe a few caraway seeds. Eat real, not fake fresh. We're going to take a very quick break. And when we come back, more about foodiness sandwiches.
This is Chris Howell from Cane Vineyard and Winery, calling in from Spring Mountain above the Napa Valley. Thank you for listening to this show. In our industrial world of highly processed food and wine, we support the values of Heritage Radio Network. All of us at Kane encourage you to seek out individuality and beauty in everything you eat and drink. To learn more about us, go to kane5.com.
Welcome back to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, repairing, and eating food on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica White, your host. Subway. Even the name makes me mad. As crappy as the New York City subway system can be, at least it's authentic and old, and it's still our subway. So stop using it for your crappy foodiness sandwiches. And yes, I get the pun, Subway. I get it. But this is New York. We don't say sub for sandwich here. We say sandwich, or maybe we say hero. As in a meatball hero with extra sauce, or a Genoa and provolone with hot peppers and oil hero. Okay? My mom lived in Atlantic City when she was a teenager after escaping Europe and the Nazis. And there they called them subs. But Atlantic City is below the Mason-Dixon line. It's a totally different food region. There are regional differences in American food. Here we call them heroes. There they call them subs. And we gave her such hell for calling them subs. Poor Rita. She did take us once to Atlantic City to eat at the White House Sub Shop, which is a place she had gone as a teenager when we were very little, a long time ago. And it was about 100 years old and very real and very cool. I don't even know if it still exists. It was a landmark. I haven't been back to Atlantic City since then because I cannot stomach casinos. And I have no interest in going there, even with Boardwalk Empire. Neither does my mom, by the way. No interest. The subway takeover of New York City is Matrix-like in its creepy, tentacly reach. Every corner, every block, taking over where the independent deli once stood, the neighborhood bodega, the pizza place, the bagel store. Even the Korean greengrocers are packing it in. Have you noticed that? It's hard to find a Korean deli these days. Subway reaches out and grabs you by the nose with that cloying, sweet chemical smell of their so-called fresh baked bread, and pulls you in by the nostrils down the foodiness rabbit hole to the room where it's still apparently the 90s and everyone is still fatphobic and obsessed with counting their fat grams. But look around. All the fat gram counters are fat and getting fatter. You know why? Because fat doesn't make you fat. Foodiness bread and terrible quality processed meats do, though. And sure, Subway offers up a whole salad bar's worth of vegetables to top off that sub, but look at those vegetables. Do they really look fresh or nutritious? Shredded iceberg lettuce and pink year-round tomatoes, canned sliced olives and acrid unripe green peppers, industrial cucumber slices and pickled jalapenos. I wouldn't exactly count those toward my 9 servings a day of vegetables that the USDA recommends. Except guess what? The USDA has its head up its own ass and counts that stuff as a serving. It doesn't matter if it has the same nutrition as eating newspaper. It's a vegetable and it's fresh. Remember? The whole charade of the baking bread at a Subway store, as if there's like a muscular old Italian guy in a white t-shirt and a bandana in the back, gently mixing flour and water and then kneading it into dough and then hand-shaping that dough into loaves before he slides them into the roaring brick oven, then pulling them out and letting them cool before the sandwich artisans slice them open and build their sandwich magic. It brings to mind Nicolas Cage in Moonstruck, sweating it out in the basement of Camerari's Bakery, which ironically was only a few short blocks from the subway that ate Montero's bar right there in Brooklyn. Down there with his one hand and his mustache and the sweat dripping from his face, falling in love with Cher, making real bread. Yeah, it's not exactly like that. Camerari closed years ago, and that was sad, but the neighborhood does have some incredible bread producers now. Actually much better than those old school Italian bakeries. Shh. But the so-called bread that Subway bakes fresh is industrial quality, made with dozens of chemicals and additives, factory made, par baked, then flash frozen and shipped. At the Subway stores, they just throw it into a convection oven and finish it. I seriously hope you didn't think they actually made the bread at the store. No. You couldn't have. My listeners are too smart for that. A few years ago, Subway ran an ad campaign where they tooted their foodiness horn also about how their meat was sliced fresh in the stores. Not at the factory, sliced in the store. As if that was something special and that made it okay. The big block of processed, chemically treated, and preserved pressed ham product comes in whole, slung over someone's shoulder, like the hind quarter of an heirloom breed pig fresh out of the smokehouse, and gets sliced right there in front of your discerning eyes, by hand, fresh, never factory sliced. Last fall, I had to go to a wedding in L.A., and I used miles to get my ticket. So what happens when you use miles? Stopover. So I had to stop in Dallas, I think, or it may have been Houston, somewhere in Texas. I can't remember which one. Is there a difference? And it was lunchtime. And in this era of airline travel, where there's no food on the plane, I have actually found that the food in airports is starting to improve. You can usually find something pretty good now in an airport, in like one of those Wolfgang Puck chain places, or there's usually a good salad somewhere. I know, it's hard to believe I'm actually saying this, but I have found decent food now in airports. It boggles the mind. But in Dallas, Houston, or wherever I was, the only option in my airport terminal other than barbecue was Subway. Now, I completely appreciate the art and the craft of good, real barbecue. It's one of our indigenous American foodways, and there are many artisan barbecue producers across the country. But not so much at the Dallas-Houston airport. I don't think I want to eat airport barbecue because this was more like scary industrial barbecue eaten by scary guys in scary Confederate flag t-shirts. So in my fearful state, I reluctantly chose to go to Subway. And that was a mistake because I really didn't want to eat a sandwich with all their big fakey foodiness bread. So I got their chopped salad, which is basically just a big bowl of their vegetable toppings chopped up with chunks of their factory cheese and then finished with dressings that are made like from nasty corn syrup and oils. And it was all kind of like really slimy and too cold and too sweet, and I couldn't even finish it, and I couldn't wait to get to California where I could eat all kinds of real delicious, tasty, seasonal, local food. I probably, in hindsight, should have braved the barbecue eaters and joined them. The lesson learned, don't fly through Dallas, Houston, and if you do, bring your own food. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, more about foodiness sandwiches.
Fancy restaurant records.
You're listening to Back to School by Tom Cruise on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org today.
Welcome back to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. I'm Erica Wides. This is the Heritage Radio Network. Now remember, Heritage Radio Network is listener supported. So you know what that means. Cough up. We need you. It's like PBS, but way cooler. Also remember that you can follow me on Twitter at Let's Get Real Show. My goal is to get 500 new Twitter followers by April. That's my goal. So I need 500 new Twitter followers by April. So tell your friends, retweet, do whatever you have to do. You can also find Let's Get Real on Facebook. And you can also check out my website, which is letsgetrealshow.com. You can also listen to any Heritage Radio Network show ever recorded on iTunes. Or check out, of course, heritageradionetwork.org. So the maddening irony There are so many maddening ironies of Subway sponsoring athletes like Michael Phelps or Apollo Ono. Just means that it creates more foodiness mythology that gets projected onto the American public. People see these champion, most decorated athletes ever eating Subway, and they think, oh, well, if it works for Michael Phelps, it'll work for me. It's like truthiness. Subway is healthy. Subway is healthy. Athletes eat it. Athletes eat it. Remember truthiness? That's where foodiness came from. You say something over and over again enough and people start to believe it. Subway is healthy. Subway is healthy. Athletes eat it. Athletes eat it. Works for Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps eat it. Eats it. He must have to eat a lot of it. That guy's huge. Say it often enough and you'll start to believe it. It's how we invaded Iraq and Afghanistan, after all. If I were an athlete, which I am, of even one-tenth the caliber of a Michael Phelps, which I'm not, I'd never let my huge muscular jaw close around something like Subway. But come to think of it, maybe this is some kind of evil chemical industry, foodiness, industrial complex, mega endorsement project. Much bigger and more evil and more tentacly than even I could imagine. Maybe the company that makes azodicarbonamide and puts it into shoes and mats and other athletic equipment and also into bread at fast food companies also has a double deal with Subway. Maybe it's some kind of sick double endorsement things where the athletes not only eat the product, but they wear it too. Edible foodiness, athletic gear, and shoes. I have got to look into that. It makes the bread spongy and the footwear springy. Our athletes get their spring in their step in two special ways. Better living through chemistry lives on. The poor sandwich. You know, you just started out simply as a way to get us our meals in portable form. Slap it between two pieces of bread and you're off. Handheld, convenient, easy. What happened to you? How did we go so far from that? The Earl of Sandwich, who was a real guy and a big-time gambler, speaking of casinos in Atlantic City, didn't want to leave the gaming table when he was heavily involved in his gambling, and so he asked that his meat just be put between bread so that he wouldn't have to leave the table. Hence, the sandwich. And you see, that's why I don't go to casinos, because of that. Now, Subway and all the other foodiness, sandwichiness around us never lets us forget that myth. Let us not forget, along with Subway and all the foodiness, sandwichiness around us, things like the frozen, pre-made, crustless peanut butter and jelly sandwich, which I memorialized not long ago in an earlier episode of this show, and which inspired what I call the golden uncrustable. The frozen, pre-made, crustless peanut butter and jelly sandwich is called the uncrustable. And so I decided to do the Foodiness Products of the Year Awards and award the golden uncrustables. And I think that Subway may be up for a golden uncrustable this year just for the fact that they put floor mat sneaker sole ingredient in their bread. But it is awards season, come to think of it, isn't it? The Grammys, the Golden Globes, the Oscars. I think it may be time for another golden uncrustables awards show. Okay, I'm going to get to work on that and we're going to do it in a few weeks. Now, until then and until that time, please, 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 if you don't want to eat shit sandwiches, stop eating at Subway and keep listening to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food here on Heritage Radio Network with me, Erica Weitz, your devoted host. That's about it for tonight. Thanks to Evan in the control room. Thanks to Chris Nutter, my co-producer. Thanks to Ben Kaplan, who wrote my theme music, and Adam Rosenberg, who's our webmaster. That's it for tonight, people. I'll see you next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.